Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Effectively, they are putting out defective airplanes. I have serious concerns about the safety of the 787 and 777 aircraft, and I'm willing to take on professional risk to talk about them. I literally saw people jumping on the pieces of the airplane to get them to align. I call it the Tarzan effect. I was told to shut up. I received physical threats.
Well, that's comforting, isn't it? Yeah, but the voice you're hearing is yet another Boeing whistleblower saying, look, that Boeing 787 Dreamliner, not such a dream, it is dangerous. And his name is Sam Salepour, engineer for this particular airline maker. And he says the Dreamliner needs to be pulled from the sky because there are these gaps in the fuselage, explaining, you know, that those building it took a lot of shortcuts at Boeing, building the 787 and the 777 jet because they wanted to save money and reduce all the bottlenecks occurring in the assembly. And he says, you know, sections of the fuselage on the Dreamliner aren't fastened together. And you heard him talking about jumping on them, but there are the little gaps exist where the parts are supposed to join, but they might not be the right parts. And so they've got little gaps in them, but those gaps are supposed to be filled with something. And instead of filling them, they're just kind of like stomping on them to make them fit. And the problem is when you fly a plane, you know, a lot of stress on that repeatedly, you could see parts of the plane break off. And we've seen Boeing has had several issues mid-flight, including that Alaska flight in January. Remember when the window blew out? I mean, this guy is coming forward saying he wouldn't put his own family on one of these planes. And he's the second Boeing employee to speak out. Don't forget, John Barrett was the first raising safety concerns, but he was found dead just over a month ago in his truck. And that was during a lawsuit he was a part of against Boeing. Let me bring in Robert Clifford. He is with Clifford Law Offices in Chicago, and he is one of the top aviation lawyers who I've had the pleasure of talking to over the years. Thanks, Robert, for joining us.
Well, good morning, and you're very welcome, and it's always a pleasure.
Well, I mean, we've certainly spoken a lot about the issues of the 737, the MAX 8, the MAX 7, those that came crashing down, killing hundreds of people over the last couple of years. Those are cases you have been involved with. But what do you make about this whistleblower and in these cases of the Dreamliner?
Well, obviously, it's extraordinarily disturbing for everyone. Quite candidly, I was on a Dreamliner just this past weekend, coming from Rome back to the U.S. I was over in Rome doing deposition preparation work for an upcoming trial in the MAX 8 cases here in Chicago that's going to go to trial on November 12th. So, you know, this is near and dear to my heart.
Yeah.
I mean, on one hand, of course, this is all very, very disturbing for every one of your listeners and everyone in America. On the other hand, there's part of me that wants to know, is somebody, you know, piling on Boeing? I have great respect for Senator Blumenthal, and I know him and have admired his work. So the fact that someone like, he or the senator from Wisconsin, Johnson, I mean, these are serious people. And the fact that they're digging into this, you know, it tells us an awful lot. There is one feature to this that I think is a bit reassuring, and that is that I really believe all this stuff has the attention of the FAA.
Mm-hmm.
They're all over Boeing now, and I think are doing, you know, good things to try to protect us all. If these planes, you know, these are flights. There have been millions of passenger miles and flights of these aircraft, the 787 and the 777 that's also implicated. So, look, made these investigators proceed with as a dispatch and as quickly as they can, because we need them to be giving us the assurance that it's safe to fly. I don't know what else to say about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it doesn't necessarily inspire a lot of confidence. Like, I'm a very nervous flyer. No, my listeners know this. Like, I'm the one looking at the plane's wings to make sure that they're attached. I'm checking, like, what's not working.
Well, here's a disturbing thing that I haven't heard anything about yet, but we learned this years and years ago when the DC-10 litigation, United Airlines Flight 232, July 19, 1989 in Sioux City. There we learned that when all these parts are originally designed, they give them a life expectancy, and yet they do inspections. And if the product is performing better than what was originally predicted, they extend the life. So my inquiry right now is, okay, on these fuselage weldings and seams, are they by chance doing a good enough job to inspect those to match the predicted life expectancy of the aircraft? And are they going to change that to get more mileage out of it? You know, these are all very disturbing things. But, you know, look, I think Boeing, all of this has their attention. Boeing heretofore, the people that work at Boeing, forget their leadership, okay? We think their leadership is broken. We think they've created a terrible culture. But there are real people there who I think are well-intended and want to do a good job and want to make sure that the products that they're pushing out the door are safe. And, you know, it's great that this whistleblowers are coming forward. But let's also give the company, you know, some due that it's here to stay, and they want to develop good products and get their reputation back.
Yeah, I mean, they're enormous in name and always had a great reputation. But like since the 737 MAX crash, which numerous Canadians died in those flights, and we've had the family of Danielle Moore, who was a 24-year-old Toronto woman. She was killed, pardon me?
Right. That's my client.
Yeah, she's your client. Yeah. And her parents, you know, they've been on my show, and they wanted the 737 MAX banned. They wanted it grounded altogether because they don't feel it's safe. But is that where we're heading with these planes, whether it's the 737 or the Dreamliner? Do they all need to be grounded and checked out? Like, is there something wrong with this plane?
I don't know that they need to be grounded, but I think they all need to be immediately inspected. And I wouldn't be surprised to hear calls for that coming out of Congress. I mean, look, they're flying safely now. But let's give Boeing some credit. They've come out and talked about the inspections. And the air operators, you know, the companies that fly these planes, they have skin in the game. They have obligations. They can be inspecting these fuselages themselves. Mm-hmm. So if the aviation industry, you know, jumps behind the concept that they need to do a full-blown exercise to examine these products, reassure the public that they're quality products and are still, useful and safe, then that's what they need to do. Not just Boeing. What about the operators?
Yeah,
let's get these operators involved, too. That's exactly right.
I'm happy to have the whole industry looked at to make sure it's all safe, right? But maybe that's needed.
Call the reserves.
Hey,
right?
Whoever will examine it, I just want to know, and I think most people want to know, that the plane that they're getting on is safe. And the, you know, Boeing's been in the news now for so many years, so many negative headlines. And then I know they've changed leadership. But ultimately, if people lose confidence that the plane they're on is safe, they're not going to fly. And so the FAA, they've at some point got to get ahead of this and make sure that they,
It's a global problem for Boeing. I mentioned to you that I was overseas. I was in Italy preparing witnesses. And the people in Italy are all telling me, what's with that Boeing company? I mean, so the word is spreading throughout the world. This is not just a problem here in the United States. So, you know, they better get their acts together. Otherwise, the United Airlines just announced that they're leasing airplanes from Airbus because Boeing can't deliver the planes, right?
Yikes.
You know, I guess it's hard to imagine that there's, a life without Boeing, but what happened to GE? Remember how that changed? And where's AT&T? I mean, it can happen.
It can happen.
They better get going.
It's amazing, though, Robert, that cutting corners, you know, just to save a few bucks has probably cost them maybe possibly everything.
Oh yeah, it's listen. Whenever you let the money crunchers and the guys who worry about the balance sheets and stock performance take over for the, you know, safety features of how you run a business. That's a formula for failure. It's that simple. Boeing, before the merger with McDonnell Douglas, was known as an engineer's company. You know, and the mantra was, if it's not Boeing, I'm not going. Well, now, if it is Boeing, I'm not going, right?
Yeah.
And they got to change that. They've got to get back their reputation. And they're a company that America needs this company. Let's forget about what we're talking about in terms of the commercial aviation stuff. Let's talk about the fact that they're a major defense contractor for America.
We
need this company to survive. But in not if it's going to be, well, you know, every now and then we have a crash and sorry, folks, we can't do anything about it. That's awful.
Yeah. Just quickly, Robert, I know you are very busy, but do you have any update on the 737 case for the victims' families? I mean, these two flights of the MAX that went down, and I know that where do these stand?
Yeah, well, we just got a great ruling from the judge to schedule trials. We are going to start trials in Chicago on November 12th. We'll spend the summer getting the cases that the judge selects. He's going to select those cases the first part of May. We'll be trial ready. We're getting cases trial ready. That's what you know, when I told you I was just in Italy preparing witnesses, you prepare the witnesses for their live testimony or the electronic depositions that they'll give or live streaming. And then that's how you put on a trial, and that'll take place. And there are about 50 cases left. So that means, you know, 2/3 of the cases have been resolved by settlement. And the other cases, there are active discussions going on, resolution discussions, and some may settle, some may not. But there will be trials eventually. There are some families who believe that an American jury should bear witness to what Boeing's criminality and conduct and make the decision about damages as opposed to any negotiation. So,
yeah. Boy, those families. Yeah, they've waited a long, 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 long time. So we'll keep an eye on them.
Over 5 years.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, we're approaching, you know, in November, we'll be approaching the 6th anniversary. That's awful. Now, in fairness to everyone, we lost a couple of years because of COVID. You know, we're back on track, and I expect that the cases will proceed as I've just described.
We'll talk again. Robert, very much appreciate your time. Thank you.
Okay, friend. Take care.
Robert Clifford joining us. And 2019, that Ethiopian airline crash. What was that? They ran there. It's been a long time, though, that happened. So we'll keep an eye on that. That is Robert Clifford.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.